Three times in the Greek, there is a word that is used that if I say it, you should kind of be able to figure out what it means. That word is mega. Mega. And that word is exactly what you think it is. It's big. It's huge. It is great. And three times in our passage, that's how that word is translated. It's translated as great. One time, it's translated as dead, but it still works there. So what we have in this passage is we have, first, a mega windstorm, a great windstorm, followed by a mega calm, a great calm, or for us translated, a dead calm, followed then at the end by mega awe, or fear, which the disciples experience in verse 41. Three times we have this word mega, and they all lead into each other, but it starts with a mega, a great windstorm. Jesus and his disciples, Jesus just finished doing some teaching off of a boat, and he's ready to go to the other side of the sea where he's going to teach some more. So his disciples join him in this boat that's designed for fishing. It's a shallow bottom boat. It doesn't have a deep draw to it. It can sit about 14 to 15, maybe 16 people. So the disciples and Jesus fill it up pretty well. They start sailing across the sea, and Jesus, being tired from teaching and preaching and proclaiming the word of God to all these people, doing miracles, he falls asleep in the back of the boat, back in the stern. And while they're out sailing, though, the Sea of Galilee experiences a windstorm. The Sea of Galilee lies fairly low, below sea level, or pretty low elevation, and it's surrounded by mountains which are pretty high in elevation. And so when that cold air from the mountains comes down and meets the warm air of the sea, you get windstorms, you get storms, and that's what happens here. And the disciples are terribly afraid, and so with great urgency and with great response, they get up and they're trying to prevent the boat from being swamped. I don't think they have life preservers at this time, and most people don't really know how to swim. So this is a desperate situation that they're in. And as they respond to this great, this mega windstorm, they look back, and there's Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat. There's no urgency to him. There's no great quick response to the storm at hand. And it causes the disciples to question Jesus. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing, that we're about to be destroyed? Teacher, do you not care? Have you ever asked God that question? God, don't you care? Lord, don't you care that I'm perishing, that I'm about to be destroyed? It's not hard to take this passage and apply it to our lives, is it? Because we all go through different kinds of storms. We go through different turmoil in this life. We might meet some financial stress. I'm sure the drought last year put the wrong kind of storm, basically, to farmers. We experience disease. Maybe you find a lump that shouldn't be there, and it turns into cancer. These are storms in our lives. Depression has caused a lot of stormy seas to a lot of people in North Dakota lately. These storms are pain. They're terrifying. They're frightful. They're chaotic, and they are a crisis. And our response is to be urgent about it, to be quick to it. And when it doesn't seem like God is as quick to our response as we would like him to be, we might cry out like the disciples. Do you not care? Because there's many times where it can feel like the Lord is sleeping, sitting in the back of the boat, without a care to the world. The disciples in this great windstorm cry out, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus eventually wakes up. He rises, and the text implies that there's not a great urgency yet to him, but he speaks to the storm. He rebukes it, is what we hear our passage say. He rebukes the storm, "Peace, be still." The words that he speaks to the storm are actually the same words that he speaks to a demon earlier on in Mark. He's telling the demon, basically, shut up. He goes to the storm and he says, "Shut up, storm. Be quiet. Be still. Be silenced." And the storm obeys. We go from a great and mega windstorm to a great mega calm. And it's sudden, it's jarring, it's unnatural, but it is certainly welcome. But before the disciples can even grasp that they're safe all of a sudden, before they can even begin to process what just happened, Jesus turns from the storm to them. He rebuked the storm, and now he has questions for the disciples. And we see this in verse 40. He looks to the disciples and he says, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" It can feel like a little bit of a mean question, doesn't it? I mean, here's the disciples. They haven't been following Jesus very long, but they have followed him. They had faith enough to leave their jobs, their vocations. Some of them were fishermen, some were tax collectors. They just left their jobs at his call and went and followed him. That, to me, looks like faith. It looks like a response. But here, Jesus questions their faith. See, these disciples might follow Jesus. They might even believe that he has the power to save them, to forgive their sins. And certainly they heard that just recently, that Jesus proclaimed the forgiveness of sins on a paralytic right before he healed them. They might have faith for these things, but they don't yet have faith that rests confidently in Christ for the day to day. Do we trust that Jesus will see us through the storm? Do we live in fear that God does not care that we are perishing, that we are about to be swamped? Do we think God sometimes asleep, aloof, not paying attention? See, maybe, and I hope this is true, many of us here, and hopefully all of us, have faith enough to follow Jesus, to see him at the very least as a good example. And I think many of us, if not all of us here, have faith that Jesus does forgive our sins, that he died on the cross for us, and that is vitally important to us. It is important to our souls. Those are good things. But do we have faith in him enough, trust in him enough, for the day-to-day storms, the day-to-day trials? The disciples are learning this lesson, and they'll get other chances later on in the gospel to learn this lesson, to trust in Jesus for the day-to-day. Later on, Jesus will be preaching to a crowd of 5,000 men, and then there's women and children not included in that number of 5,000. And Jesus will tell his disciples, "Let's feed these people," and they can't comprehend how it's going to happen. And Jesus again teaches them by multiplying the loaves that he is the Lord. Jesus questions the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith. And verse 41 tells us then, and they were filled with great awe and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? That phrase, great awe, it's a funny phrase in the Greek. It literally says, and they feared a great fear of Jesus. They had a great phobia of Jesus. They were afraid. Another mega thing. They were mega fearing of Christ and what just happened. Because for them, they've heard the Psalms. They've read the book of Job where God speaks out of the whirlwind and comes in a terrifying way. And they've read the Psalms where God is the master and the Lord over the wind and the sea. And now they see Jesus doing the very things that they have always confessed to be a part of the Lord God Almighty. And they have a great fear. Now, we tend to see fear as a bad thing, but here it's actually a good thing. And for to explain this, I would refer us to the book of Proverbs, where early on in Proverbs we hear this, that you a phrase you might be familiar with. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The disciples and their fear now of Jesus is their beginning of understanding who he is, that this man before them is the Son of God, and the Son of God cares that they are perishing, cares that they are in a storm. He might not have immediately reacted as they would want, but he sure had a plan. The Lord Jesus took this great windstorm, made it into a great calm, and from this he produced great fear, which is a deeper faith in Jesus Christ and what he means for these disciples. Jesus is the one to trust, not just for our salvation, not just so that when we die we'll be with him in heaven, though that is paramount, but also to trust in him for our day-to-day trials, as one who we can cry out to and receive deliverance. It might not always be how we want it to be, and quite often it isn't, but we trust that Jesus knows what the storm is like, and that he knows how to bring a greater and deeper faith in him through it all. In your storms, cry out to Jesus. Trust in him. He is there to rescue us, that we might not be swamped, and that by him we may be saved. Let us pray.